I guess Beagle's going to turn around and say, what is the harm in leaving them in there? What do you object?
Well, you put all kinds of speculative things into this.
But we're talking about this one sentence.
I know. But
so and that's where the
problem is. But we could imagine lots of other things that we could add in there, too, that we could not put in the interest of brevity.
Right.
And so I think that...
Well, I think we've both made, you know, lots of concessions, both of us. And I'm not saying that anyone has paid more than the other. But I think, you know, we need to... I'm going to look at this a little bit with open minds and sort of decide, I guess, what Legal's going to ask is, you know, what is the damage in leaving it there? What are you objecting to? What is
the
standing
raising
in the way?
The bar situation.
Pardon?
You know, no raising or lowering the bar.
Mm-hmm.
That is, and we've expressed this many times.
Right.
So, and that's...
And I think my judgment was worth 18 months ago, here last June, when we took the consensus agreement for the Transportation Committee, I heard loud and clear from that group that they were very concerned that if you put a significant portion of the island in conservation now, you would forego the opportunity to use it for mitigation. So I felt very strongly that we've got to come up with means to, if you want to advance this now, not wait until potentially important permit, have to find ways of ensuring that, in their mind, it raises the bar to a port. You can't use land that's already there for mitigation. And this was a means to level the playing field. I know the arguments you could, where the bar is from your matter of perspective, but from the standpoint of transportation interests, they see that the entire island is held as a transportation asset now, and that it's available for mitigation now.
But actually, the governor supported the Mississippi consensus agreement. So, so it seems to me the governor has given a directive that 601 acres at this point are going to be used for conservation. And so it seems to me, you know, I don't want to belabor the point too much, but it seems to me that, you know, we have some support to create this agreement, and fighting over this mitigation. Federal Mitigation Act, which is not the purview of this group.
No.
And it doesn't seem to me that we should have, you know, the Army Corps of Engineers is not anywhere near this table. So it seems to me that we are just opening ourselves up for a huge amount of criticism if we leave this very small phrase in here and it's not stopping you. That this is not what we can stop you.
All right, I will talk to counsel when we get back. But it doesn't do away with the issue. And I think in the spirit of this, the document was silent as to how we all dealt with mitigation. It was not viewed that it's not outside the purview of what we're doing. It's right in the middle of the purview of what we're doing. So
it was silent, and now we move out for there are two paragraphs up where the mitigation's already on that. The two other sites that are planned were our possible mitigation sites that are available. So, I mean, it was announced, it already allows for those two.
It does, correct.
So, I mean,
I will.
It's just that there's that whole other part of mitigation that goes beyond the two sites. And it's really all about really transparency. That's what Legal is pushing, transparency. You don't want to look like we're hiding anything. We're going to be pursuing that as mitigation credit at some point. Well, you know I'm writing the perspective.
I know.
Right now.
I know.
So, you know, it's going to happen.
But
it's up to whether the Corps is going to accept it or not. That's a question. But that's
we also know that the entire financial system of the United States is also at risk at the moment. So you want to add a paragraph in there about this, about that. I mean, I don't know how many things you need to put in there. I feel as though we'd already decided this.
I appreciate it if you would bring that article.
Yeah.
I think she is representing what this committee was said, and this is something that this committee agreed and recommended last time would not be filed off. And that if it needed to be done for transparency, that it would show up in some other document other than another form and not in this. So, is that still the the sense that the committee I'm gathering that that's really what the sense is. Thank you for bringing that up.
Okay, the next comment that Steve had was on page 5 under land use. And in this paragraph, Steve has some concerns about our addition of a sentence that actually adds on the mainland line easterly and northerly of the island. Basically, talking about viewpoints from the mainland onto the island. And I guess I want to ask, first of all, talk about this sentence. We have amended and changed this a number of times, and let me just read it to you. This is the second sentence in land use. It's called, "The protected property itself shall not be used in any manner that will detract from its substantially natural and undeveloped character when viewed from areas on the public waters of Stockton Harbor and Penobscot Bay and from public roadways and land areas on the mainland lying easterly and northerly of the island." I think the key word there is the "and" between Penobscot Bay and the public roadways. We added that "and" in there. So actually they all become specific, separate sites for view sheds. Okay? So I guess I need to ask the committee if they are objecting to adding the on the mainland line easterly and northerly of the island.
We discussed that at length last time too. Does anyone want to? Because that was something that I even questioned. I didn't know why we were getting rid of it.
My memory of this is that we discussed two possible solutions to this. Either having no directional adjectives or adverbs in terms of the islands, northerly, southerly, easterly, westerly, either not having those at all, or at least including southerly, because there are points of view from both public roads and from the waters of Knoxville Bay of the island of the protected property from the south. And after all, this is the southern tip of Sears Island that's under the protection of property. So it seems to me, and I, to be honest, am forgetting which we decided to do, both total omission or being comprehensive in stating the directions. But I think we could either omit, and I think, I understand you, Dean, you're saying that there's two different classes of public vantage points. There's the everywhere on Penobscot Bay vantage point, and then there's the northerly and easterly vantage points as created by public roadways.
Correct.
Anyway, so I'm trying to simplify it, but yes. And from my point of view, I think at minimum, southerly should be one of the words in this. Or I think in fact, the best is to omit both the northerly and westerly, easterly and northerly. Because, for instance, there's a state park at Hylesboro, publicly owned lands that can see up to Sears Island. And there's also, I know that there's conservation land at the northern end. The easements are held by, and the ownership is held by Hylesboro Islands Trust. But there's a land area, what the public visits. And conservation easements typically try to protect, when they're talking about scenic issues, try to protect the public vantage points. So we should be comprehensive in the protection of the different public vantage points. And the final thought just totally wipes the issue off of whether this gets into a play over 330 acres. But it's very explicit, though notwithstanding the clause.
Right.
So I would prefer to have neither of these easterly northerly just say
on the mainland.
Points.
So yes, public roadways and land areas on the mainland, period.
Yes.
I remember it only because I questioned the clarification of my myself last time. That's how I remember it. Everybody wanted it off, and I couldn't understand why the relevancy of it. And you are remembering, at least as I remember it, it was pointing, how you're pointing. And so I think you've given the right
answer. Well, Scott, let me take that back to legal. I think that they're probably going to object to adding southerly. So I think what I'll recommend is actually deleting, you know, easterly, northerly, any of those kind of compass-related kind of orientations.
That would be the best and clearest language.
And that's what the committee said last time, for the same reason. We just dropped phrase.
Right. Okay. I think that was my initial lesson.
This is okay.
I'm sorry, Bob.
No, I'm just building itself.
Easterly is at Sears Point. Is that kind of heartland.
In the future.
People that are there, they
whatever you want to do in the conservation area of the land, if you want to put a building for a windmill or a solar array or what have you, is that going to create an opening for people who don't want the windmill building or solar array to get into an argument that, you know, this is destroying the viewshed, that's where you can't do it?
Well, the conservation easements has specific allowances for building those things you mentioned, the potential wind tower, the potential buildings.
Yeah, from a legal perspective, you've got a conflict. Are you building a conflict between one part of this easement and another part of the easement? Because I don't see anything here that says except as otherwise provided to them. It just says this is what you can't do. Makes no difference to me. It's up to you.
Right. Do you have any comment on that, Sam?
Well, I think what you were about to say, Scott, is, you know, that the easement is pretty clear that these allowances are in here and they need to be made with the scenic conditions in mind. In other words, the wind tower should not be down at the shoreline. It needs to be thought about as to where it is, but it is clear in this document at the starting point that that is an allowance, and it is clustered up with the other buildings and improvements. There's a clear purpose and land use area here that says there's a cluster of improvements permitted, here's where it is, and the rest is natural. And I think you're asking a good question, Bob, and it gets to the gray area in conservation easements that deal with the scenic purposes, but it's still important to have that in there because it gives us some say in saying that windmill can't be right now because it really changes things. It's not made for land. It needs to be near your buildings up over here. So whatever said that day. You're putting on an area that needs to be dealt with in interpretation in the future. But it still serves as guidance.
Which of course means that it does set up the international
context. Yeah, it does. You're asking a very good question.
We recognize that, and that's part of the
question. This is business. The lawyers have already read that.
Yeah.
And I guess because I'm not familiar with, I want to make sure that everyone on the committee recognizes that not only that your conservation and easement is aware of that, but I think the point that you're making is if something can be added at that point, and I can see you saying the windmill, you don't want it on the shore, you want the options to work out there. I don't think you can also take that windmill anywhere on the island that's not on the scene.
No, it's clear.
Why bother putting it out?
Yes. It's clear when you're allowing a building area in a certain set of type of structures, especially one that's above the height requirement, that it is an understanding of that.
And you feel that the season is going to be strong enough to defend it.
Yeah. I mean, really, it sets the existing conditions and the hopes for the future, guidance for the future. but also an understanding that there are certain allowances in here that are going to be changes. This limits those changes.
All contracts offer opportunities for litigation.
Well, thanks for pointing that out.
Okay, so I'll take those recommendations back to legal and report.